The Robber Barons, Jay Gould versus Cyrus Field. Now, among those who helped Jay Gould snare the New York City Elevated Railroad was Cyrus Field. He was one of the original stockholders in the company and a man who had conspired with Gould since the Erie Railroad days. But Field was a distinguished man. He was the originator of submarine cables. He was socially prominent and was a powerful leader in speculation and investments. At first, Field believed it would be good to work closely with Gould rather than otherwise. Field made a good front and became the head of the Manhattan Elevated Railroad. Once in command of the New York City Elevated Railroad, Gould, Russell Sage, and Field, of course, issued more capital, manipulated the shares upward, raised passenger fares, and raked in rich profits. But in portions of the press, especially in the then crusading New York Times, Gould was subjected to heavy attacks. Quote, "There is no more disgraceful chapter in the history of stock jobbing than that which records the operations of Jay Gould, Russell Sage, and Cyrus W. Field and their associates in securing control of the system of elevated railroads in New York City." End of quote. Gould was called a scourge, a pirate, the corrupter of public servants, and a devil in human guise. So, as you can see, he's very popular. But this isn't anything new. They've talked about him like this for quite some time. And, of course, none of this actually bothered Gould. But Field was hurt by the attacks, and he began to show symptoms of one of the worst things that you could have, and that is a public conscience. He sought, first of all, to defend himself, and then, secondly, to make amends. Gould was furious when Field, as the head of the Manhattan Elevated Railroad, became determined to lower passenger rates from 10 cents to 5 cents, and then announced that he considered his company an institution for the public service and the development of New York City. Now, of course, you can't forget, too, that Field held large land holdings, and he was able even to win a few stockholders over to his view. To Gould, however, nothing could be more insane and wasteful than such a policy, which seriously conflicted with his own ingenious plan for the New York transportation system. It ran counter to all of Gould's usual schemes, planned mismanagement, or planned derangement, all to open the way for financial results that he desired. Then when Field began using his resources to buy large blocks of stock in his company to reinforce his control, Gould decided the reformer had to go. Together with Russell Sage, Gould secretly laid his traps and then waited for the moment to strike. They encouraged Field to buy more while they sold. Gould's information infrastructure knew the point in which Field was overextended, what they referred to as when he was overloaded. And at that point, they attacked. They hit the stock with one of Gould's old-fashioned stock raids. And of course, Field's credit collapsed. The Manhattan Elevated stock dropped almost 50%. Field was ruined, but Gould, quote, rescued him. He rescued him by taking over Field's encumbered securities at a sacrifice of millions of dollars to Field. The circumstances of this affair were unusually pathetic and lingered for a long time in the public's mind through reports and rumors. Mr. Field, before his association with Jay Gould, had been a popular citizen, had engaged in some public-spirited enterprises, and was the father of several beautiful and gifted daughters. One of his daughters, in her memoirs, described that her father had become so destitute that as his health was failing, Money was raised for him by sympathetic friends such as J.P. Morgan, and Fields' last years seemed to have passed in long mental and physical anguish. So Gould certainly doesn't help his reputation at all in this method of ruining an individual. But it's not going to be long before Gould's going to have to face the music himself, although he's never going to be in this position at all. But it just brings up more these terrible stories about how he operated, how he made his money, you know, doing what people still do today. Whether it's Carl Icahn buying a company and then doing the thing with the stock and having them take in the loans and then selling it off for peanuts later on, or any other number of group of modern-day robber barons that do the same thing. Now, the sources for this is Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, and The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. And, of course, there are every one of these people that I've talked about has several superb biographies on them. So, you know, these are just kind of general things mixed in. If you really get into Gould and these others, I highly recommend that you look up some of the other biographies. And I would always balance it by saying try to read an older one, one that's written when relatively fresh, and then, of course, pick out a newer one where they can then go back over all that information in much more detail with a kind of a retrospective look, which is one of the best ways to do that. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.